Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
Look at the buttercream on that cake.
And the bulldog.
Yeah, when the kids were little, we just like to go in the lake. Natural selection. You come back great.
On WGR.
Look at that fondant.
Sports Radio 550.
All right, rolling along here in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm trying to imagine me saying that and sounding like I meant it.
It happened.
It did happen. I guess I'm overly sensitive. You guys freaked me out because I told this Fred story on Friday about how I intentionally got him to like fall down a few stairs, and you go, is he okay? You got me all worried. So now I'm like, I'm hyper, talking about not being scared of my kids drowning. I wasn't being serious there. It's obvious, right? Just wanted to make sure. I don't know. I'm a little uneasy, Joe. You guys, you freaked me out like I was abusing my dog.
It's obvious. I do that with my dog, too, where, like, I'll, like, edge of the bed, like, he falls off. Like, yeah, right. I don't know. You mess around with stuff like that.
The best moments are when he eats it. Like, he has this thing with a leaf blower. Like, his sworn enemy is any device you are holding in your hand.
Yep.
That can be a shovel, a broom, you name it, right? Like, that is his sworn enemy. extra bonus points if it's a device that, like, runs. Like, it's got a motor, right? So it makes a noise. And in the case of a leaf blower, it's blowing, blowing air at him if he gets close enough. And he, this one time, got so wound up that he basically did a flip and just landed on his bed. It was just one of the most hilarious, but these moments I have with him that I can't duplicate, that like once in a lifetime moments are the best. Anyway, glad to have you with us here, rolling into the 6 o'clock hour. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation. Sneaky Joe DiBiase along for the ride as well. Hope everyone enjoyed the holidays, the holiday anyway, Easter, if you celebrate. I say holidays because today's Dingus Day, and that has been a big deal here. I think that's been obviously muted the last couple of years by pandemic stuff, but hope everybody did their thing yesterday and had their fill. I certainly did in our house. It was, again, small, just my wife and me and Leo, but I did my usual spread. Did you see, Joe, the tweet from, was it now, Oklahoma football coach Lincoln Riley?
No, I missed this.
Did you see? He tweeted, when were we talking about brisket on this show? Friday, when Greg Gabriel was on, we talked about brisket. Because Greg and I, we communicate via Twitter about, like, we follow one another, and he saw that my wife and kids got me a smoker for my birthday last year. So I'm venturing into the complex world of smoking meats. And Greg is really into it. He's got one of these big setups with a, it's got like a digitally controlled temperature and all this stuff, like really, really high tech. Mine is basically a garbage can that holds charcoal at the bottom. So it's not precise. Anyway, Lincoln Riley tweeted a picture yesterday at some point, Happy Easter, and it was this huge just chopping block. Are you looking at it?
Yeah, no.
Huge chopping block of brisket. Right, and it's all cut up, and it's all there, and I mean, it looks like absolute garbage. It is so bad. Like, it is so bad. just really dried out, just not optimal brisket cooking. I mean, he didn't write about what his method was, but I would assume it was smoking. And believe me, I know. Like, last Saturday I had my first smoke of the season, and I didn't use the thing all winter, but it was nice last Saturday. I told my wife, you know what? I want to get back on the horseshoe. Let's get me a brisket and let's go, right? And I did it, and I was, you know, pictures of preparation, pictures of the smoker while it's smoking, and nobody called me on it because I did not follow up with a tweet of the finished, any pictures of the finished product, because when I cut into it, I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is not. This is not what you want to spend your day doing if it's going to turn out like this. I botched it. I don't know if I didn't monitor temperature well enough, but it seemed like I overcooked it. So it tasted good, but it was not what it should have been. It was a disappointment. I need to work a little harder. I need to keep at it. I will, but I didn't put any pictures up because it would have looked like Lincoln Riley's, a much smaller version. I mean, he's got enough food there for, it looked like 20 people. I made basically 4 pounds of beef brisket and I overcooked it.
You could have quote tweeted it with like the same exact message, like Happy Easter. Here's my overcooked brisket.
I didn't even take a picture of it. Because I knew, like, as soon as I cut it open, I'm like, well, I mean, we're eating this. It's a, you know, $35 slab of meat. Like, I'm not throwing it away. And I did salvage it in that I used some of the leftovers to make a frittata, which I'd never done, but that was easy enough. It was just, you know, eggs and some cream and some other veggies and, you know, peppers and the meat and some cheese and bake it in the oven. And it was that was dynamite. In that way, it didn't matter that it wasn't like juicy, tender brisket. It was, you know, just concealed in this concoction and it was good that way. So, but as far as the meal Saturday night goes, we were not Texas worthy on Saturday night, last Saturday with the brisket and Lincoln Riley. I mean, I don't know. I think you should know. Like, you're going to get hammered. The mentions on this were unbelievable. People were just piling on. And, you know, deservedly so. He posted pictures of a brisket he mangled, is how I saw it. So, anyway, that was on my mind because I knew I had thought about Easter and brisket had come up, like I said, earlier in the week, or excuse me, late last week. Today's only Monday. Can't get earlier in the week than this, I don't think. Anyway, there's that. Don't tweet food pictures when you screw up. That's the lesson. I knew well enough, even ahead of Lincoln Riley stepping in it yesterday with this, I knew well enough last Saturday when I cut that brisket open, like, okay, I hope nobody asks. I'm not even taking a picture. I admit it. I'm an amateur, and all of you smoking kings out there, Jeremy White included from our morning show, I give you mad respect because I'm not prime time ready yet on the brisket front. I need work. Anyway, hopefully I'll get it together one of these times. The last time we did it, it came out great. So I don't know, whatever. I'm 1 for 2, Joe. I guess I'll take a 500 average. I've been wanting all day here, and we're into the 6 o'clock hour now, to pick your brain at least a little bit, Joe, about something. I think I mentioned it in passing early in the show. The Sabres obviously are not playing tonight. We'd be into pregame if they were, but they play tomorrow in Jersey, and then they're home Thursday and home Friday. And it's Jersey on Thursday, Washington on Friday, by the way. Like, I'm starting to get like a feeling. Some people are mentioning it to me on Twitter. Like, what do you think about Granato? What do you think about Granato? And like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I can recognize the changes they've made, and we'll I'm sure talk about this with Paul as the week goes on here on our game nights. The results are better. Their style of play is better. They're still not scoring a lot. Well, I mean, they scored 6 against Philly, so I guess I should take that back to an extent. But I don't know. Like, they beat the Rangers, you know? Like, maybe they'll beat the Devils. I'm pumping the brakes on any excitement about Don Granato. Like, I like the guy. I like his style. I like how he sounds in these news conferences. And I can appreciate that they are playing better and they're getting better results. They're on a 4-game point streak. But I don't know. You know, like, they're still such a shell of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's to his credit. You know, no Eichel, no Dylan Cousins, Borgen. I don't know. Are you getting any feeling that fans are climbing on board some sort of Don Granato for permanent head coach train?
I mean, the fact that there's a train in the first place might be a little bit surprising. I mean, I wouldn't have thought the moment he was hired. I would have thought it's more likely that they get their they find their way to a guy mid-season, like Nate Lehman when Providence season ended, or somebody else, Bruce Boudreau, comes in and takes over the job then. Granato stays in that position all year, and there starts to develop some support for him to do it full-time. I would have never thought that that was on the radar. But, yeah, like, again, the fact that there's a train at all I think is impressive because he's doing some things. I like the experimentation with the lineup. One issue I always had with Ralph Kruger's philosophy was that he would just kind of let the lines marinate. Like, he would let them go through their struggles and just hope that they would come out the other end. And there were plenty of times where that just didn't happen. Those lines, like the Eakin, Okposo, Reader line, all this year was together, and they got run over in their own end every single night, and it never really changed. Last year, when Vladimir Sobotka played the first 30 games with Jeff Skinner and Marcus Johansson was the center, like, that line did not work. It was not getting Jeff Skinner to score, and that didn't really get broken apart until Sobotka got hurt. So at least Granato is like, I'm just gonna throw Sam Reinhart in center and see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna throw Casey Mittelstadt with Taylor Hall and Tage Thompson and see what happens. And if a couple games go by and it doesn't work, then he changes it. So there are some things that he's doing that I like, but no, yeah, like long term, I think I want to be somewhere. It's more respectable, too harsh. Like I want to rate at that at the head coach hire. And I think if you just give the job to the interim head coach, that's, I guess, consistent with a lot of what's happened in the organization in the last year. Like, we're going to hire from within, but I still want them to reach outside.
Yeah. I mean, look, it might be harsh. I mean, I think the world, I mean, he's from maybe one of the greatest American hockey families there is. I mean, he's wonderful. And it's got a great background, but you know, they've won 2 of 9 games. So, like, can we just slow down a little bit on the, like, you know, I like the positive signs too. But I don't know. It's just, I don't want to rush it. And I guess I'm almost closed off to the idea, I guess I would say. And that might not be the right approach, but I just don't, this is not where I would expect to end up, and that doesn't mean that you can't appreciate ending up there anyway, but they would have to do a lot more here between here and the finish line in the form of winning for me to get any kind of excited. I mean, they're 2-5-2 in the 9 games he's coached. So I appreciate the signs that are there, and the point you're making about the lineup, I think, is good. Ruotsalainen has been added to the taxi squad, so he practiced with them today. He's on this trip. I hope he gets in the lineup, because whatever there is left of this season, I would appreciate Don Granato continuing to tinker with these lines and keep Sam Reinhart at center, even if they're lucky enough to get Eichel back, and I don't know if that's happening, or Cousins, he skated today, so you know, he'll be back at some point here. They said it wouldn't be that long. Borgen is coming back. There are guys I want to see play more or at all, like Ruotsalainen, for example. Like, that's a guy that, to me, when the season was about to begin, I thought, if they can find their way to some surprisingly good third line or fourth line, whatever, but some surprisingly good line of young guys who have no track record, but they possess the puck well, they generate offense, they're good in some of the measurables, and like that would have given me hope. And apparently there was no chance that was ever going to happen while Ralph Kruger was running this team. Some of it has been necessitated by injury. Like, I don't know if Don Granato would have thought to try Reinhart at center if Dylan Cousins hadn't gotten hurt when he did, with Eichel already out, but they have.
Yeah.
And the results have been good. Mittelstadt, I think, even before Kruger left, I think I mentioned it to you a time or two. I don't know how much on the air we've gotten into it, but I think there's some promising signs in Milstead's game. He looks like a stronger player now to me. Just on pucks. Not that he's ever going to be like Mr. Battle or anything, but I just see promising signs there. So, I know what the year has been so far, and it's not, I don't think, likely to change dramatically, but my eyes are open to some possibilities, maybe even Thompson. Mm-hmm. I had high hopes for Thompson going into the year, and he started on Eichel's wing, and it lasted, did it even last a period? I don't remember.
Maybe not.
It did not last long. But I think Mittelstadt is showing some promise. I, like you now, like you've been stumping for Reinhardt at center for a long time. I think that looks good.
Yeah.
So far. And I don't know when or if Eichel comes back, if it even happens at all this year, what they would do then, because Reinhardt has carved out a pretty nice living over there on Eichel's right side. But I would be interested in seeing a team with Eichel, Reinhardt, and Cousins down the middle.
Yeah.
Like that could be nice.
That's something that you're not even doing outside of the team that would give me a little bit of hope. Like, I am not – like, Jeremy, I think, pointed out the Avalanche comp a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, how the Avalanche went from 48 points in 2017 to 95 the next year, and they made the playoffs. Like, I am not telling you that I think that's going to happen next year, but if something like that did happen, I feel like it would come with the type of center group that you just said, like Eichel, Reinhardt, and Cousins. I'm not even doing anything to have that happen. So, like, Reinhardt, yeah, like, I think there have been very promising signs in a very limited sample size these past couple games. His 5-on-5 numbers, expected goals, puck possession, like, his line came out ahead of the Panarin line against the Rangers, who he got matched up with. And, yeah, like, that's a real first line in the NHL, and it's not like Victor Olofsson and Kyle Okposo are very strong 5-on-5 players.
That's what I mean. He's dragging boulders up a hill.
Yeah.
and
right.
Still, like, doing that, like, that I think is promising. So, that circles you back to, Granato. I mean, necessity is the mother of invention. Like, again, I don't know if he would have done that if Cousins hadn't gotten hurt, and we'll see what happens when Cousins comes back. But I don't know. I think they'd be nuts to change it, and I hope they don't. And I hope I hope Ruotsalainen gets in the lineup, because what am I doing here? How many games have I got left? And, like, let's find out if the guy can play at all. You know, this organization buried Bryson and buried Borgen, and I think both of those guys look like top four candidates for this team moving forward, and they could not get in the lineup on this team until injuries and COVID. So it's possible Ruotsalainen is really good and just has not been given an opportunity yet. So high time he gets out there. I hope it comes tomorrow. So, all right. We'll take a time out here. We'll get into tonight's national title game and the weekend that was in basketball with our old friend Jerry Sullivan. It was great to catch up with him. So we'll bring you that right after this. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. This is WGR.